let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He deserves everything. Service, man. I talked to a couple of preachers. They were asking me how it went, and I said, man, people like to preach me down, man. That was like one of those services that we used to have in the 90s where the people were in it, the Lord was in it, and people were amening and praising, and just, and it was a great Easter. I hope we can do that. It's not Easter. Amen. Everybody say amen. So thank you, Pastor, and Brother and Sister McCoy has been so kind to me to invite me up here. And I want to address something before I preach. Our pastors are a little different, I guess. They seem to me. I'm not a pastor, never have been. Maybe I'm just too bold. I don't know what the problem is, or if there is a problem. Maybe the Lord just wanted me to be this event. I guess he did, because that's what I've been. I mean, politics stopped me a few times, but the Lord, you know, man will get in the way. Don't think he won't. And but how many of you need this revival? If you would just raise your hand, if you need this revival. Good. I'm glad you said that, because a revival costs money, and I'm the guy that's going to talk to you about the money, not like a pastor. Now, I just went over and told Sister McCoy, keep Pastor calm, because pastors go, I wish you would pray about it. I ain't going to say that. You don't have to pray to get money out of your purses and wallets. You just need to know revival needs to happen here. And sometimes you can't buy the new purse because there's revivals. Sometimes your savings account has to take, and we need, if you want revival, all I'm saying is this. Y'all got to give. This is not, amen. I know I'm making Pastor nervous here, but some of y'all need to get in them savings, sell a four-wheeler, sell a deer gun, whatever you say. Well, Brother Poe, no, it's not the pastor's revival. He saw the need for it. And so it's y'all's revival. And this is a serious revival. And we can stop it this week. And I'll go on and get another one started, or we can continue, but it's not up to me and it's not up to him as much as it is up to y'all, because sometimes you just have to buy into it, and that means you got to. Let me give you an example before we're seated. I'm going to preach, but I just need to talk to you, because we need to understand. My daughter, I was in these times of refreshings for over 20 years, and I always gave my daughter and my son money, give an offering. I always wanted them to have money. So I gave my daughter a $50 bill one night. And I said, here, I want you to, this is for you to go out on after church. I was going to go out with a bunch of young people. And I said, now here's a 20, and I want you to give that in the offering. I want you to give. And so after church, she walked up to me, Sister McCoy, and she said, Daddy? I said, yeah. She said, can I have some more money? I thought the only things happen is we sang some songs, preaching, and she ain't been nowhere. And I looked there, and I said, said Emily, I gave you $70 before church. She said, yes, sir. And I said, why do you need more money? And here's what she said. She said, well, Daddy, I was sitting beside some girls, and when the offering came by, they didn't have any money. So I just gave everything. Now, how are you going to tell your daughter no? I said, what do you mean everything? She said, well, I put the 50 in, a 50 in first and was going to keep the 20. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to put the 20 in there and hope Daddy will give me some more. In other words, she sacrificed without knowing. Amen. I'm just giving you some examples. Because see, if we've raised a generation of people that really don't know. They have $1,000 phones and put $10 in the offering. That don't even make sense to me. One time I told them in one meeting, I don't even want you to put any money. I just want your phones. I can make more money off your phones. I got people in Longview that buy them phones like crazy. I was in a TOR one time when a spirit of prophecy. I'm going to get this church where we know we need to be. And spirit of prophecy came on the preacher, and I was sitting over here, and I saw it. And I just went, oh, the spirit of prophecy just came on that man. And he began to prophesy, and he said, somebody needs to give. And then he stopped and he said, many of you need to give all. And he said it real hard and just forceful. Well, I told my preacher's aide, I said, go get everything in my wallet. And he ran off stage and came back, and he had some folded up bills. And I went, nah, that ain't everything, Bubba. I got some of that skinny money. I got some of that money that looked like razor blades. You know what I mean? Been stuck back a while. And I told him where they were. And I said, go get them. He did. And I just threw it all down there. Well, after church, I'm the one that pays for all the preacher's meals. There's about 15 preachers that we decided to go out to a steakhouse. Went to a steakhouse. We're talking about God, and I'm having fun. And Bill Davis is on one side, Jeff Arnold. Bunch of preachers, and we're just having so much fun. And I said, ma'am, I got the check. So in a minute they came by and gave me the black thing, and it dawned on me, oh my God, I don't even have any money. And I didn't even have a credit card. And so I froze, and I laid it right back down there, and I'm thinking, my Lord, what am I going to do? How am I supposed to get out of this? You know, used to, I'd just get up and walk out. But you can't do that with a bunch of Pentecostal preachers like, hey, y'all, let's run. And so I laid it back down, and a minute she come picked it up. And I thought, well, okay, I don't know what's going on now. And Brother Arnold leaned over to me a little later. We just kept talking. Every time I'd start winding down, I'd throw out another subject about, hey, somebody talk about a miracle. I was just waiting on somehow to get out of there. And finally, the lady come by, and I said, ma'am, well, Brother Arnold's leaned over, and he said, you ain't got no money, do you? And I said, Doc, I don't have a dollar. He said, I told Bill a while ago, that boy done throwed down everything in that offering. And I said, Brother Arnold, I forgot that this was the money for us to come eat, and I mean, I don't have no money. He said, well, me and Bill have to get the money together. He said, I got a credit card, and don't you worry about it. He said, we'll get it. I said, all right. So I raised my hand. It's about 11 o'clock. I raised my hand. I said, ma'am, we're ready to go. And the lady comes over, and she said, I said, we're ready to go. Give me the check. Now, this is at least 15 preachers eating steak. I said, go ahead and give me the check. And I looked at Brother Arnold thinking, what an offering. And she said this, you don't have a check, sir. She said, there was three doctors sitting at a table right there, and they heard you talking about miracles and the Lord, and they paid that check about 2 hours ago. Give and it shall be. So we, if you want revival, I'm just leaving it up to the people of the Lord. Let's get in there. All you young people, you need to start learning to give. Probably you do, but put in extra. All you people, just put in extra. I've learned that it is the rule of God. It's the law. if you sow seed, and everybody say seed. This is not tithe. He said he would give seed to the sower, not the saver. Amen. Amen. If you eat your seed, you don't have any fruit. But if you take that seed and keep sowing it, you're going to have fruit and more seed. Everybody say amen. So thank you for taking it the way an evangelist says it. And Pastor, thank you for asking them to pray. Now they're praying that we just miss. Amen. I want to read tonight from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. This is a very important revival. It's got some spiritual ramifications that are very important to the future of this church. It's not just a preaching revival. It's not just Pastor don't, he wants a night off revival. This is serious revival. So we need to accomplish quite a lot. I want to read from Genesis 19. There came two angels to Sodom at evening. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he blessed himself, or bowed himself with his face towards the ground. In other words, he was blessing them, respecting them. And I won't read all of it, but then I'll tell you about it. Most of you know about it. But then they called unto Lot in verse 5. And they said unto him, where are the men? Now these are angels, but they say they're men. Where are the men that came unto him? Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them or violate them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and saying, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray ye, bring them out unto you, do to them as you is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. And then verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. You may be seated. Lot's living in this place, Sodom, for about 20 years now. He's well known in Sodom. His face is familiar. Lot has a position in the city. And he's grown accustomed to disputes of the Sodomites. He's learned how to live in their city, their town, without becoming one of them. But I want to take a deeper look into the life of Lot tonight. Angels. Everybody say angels. Angels have entered the city. And they were told by Lot, you cannot walk the streets. You cannot be in the streets at night. He told angels, you can't do it. That don't even sound reasonable to me. It seems like an angel would be able to do anything it wants. But Lot said, I know the streets at night, and I know what will happen at night, so you cannot go out there. The angels were in the house, darkness falls. The Bible says that Lot's house were surrounded. men beating on the door. Men screaming for these new men. Predators. They were homosexuals. The Bible says there were so many out there that the Bible even says there was a whole city was surrounding this house. Let's go deeper for just a minute. And I want you to watch what was really happening. The spirit of hell was demanding the spirits of heaven. Think about it. The spirits of hell, the sodomites, were demanding the spirits of heaven, the angels. They were saying, come out. In other words, the power that ruled Sodom is now trying to overcome the angels. But then Lot does something very strange, and he says, do not so wickedly. In other words, he still had some morals, but he did a strange thing. When he offered up his daughters, married. Really, Brother Poe? Verse 14 said he had some son-in-laws. Son-in-laws. In other words, the girls that he proclaimed to the sodomites were married but have known no man. In other words, they had been married but they had not consummated their marriage. Think with me a minute. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because in Lot says in verse 14, he spake unto his son-in-law which married his daughters. So he spake unto his son-in-laws which had married his daughters. Yet he told those sodomites, I've got two daughters that don't even know a man. Think with me. I want you to stay pointed. And then he said, I'll give you those daughters. See, the devil always has a plan. He always has a plan. He's always planning. Let me just share with you what he had done. He's got, oh God, he's got bad spirits living in Sodom's house. Because they married the girls and became son-in-laws, but they don't want to have nothing to do with the girls. Oh, I'm going to get it tonight. In other words, I won't end the house, but it's not the girls that I'm after. It's really Lot. Now, it's going to be quiet. That's fine. In other words, the devil says, marry the daughters, pretend that you are this way, but then when you get in the house, do not do anything with the daughters, because your intent is not to become the daughter's husband, it's to destroy Lot. And so now Lot is living with son-in-laws that he doesn't realize, except he knows for a fact that the daughters have known no man. And that was supposed to take place on the wedding night. But now Lot says, well, I'm not into that. I don't understand why, but they're married. And so the boys can live with me because my daughters are living with me. In other words, the devil, the spirits, are now inside Lot's house and they're eating with Lot. They're sleeping in the same house. They're going to work. They're this buddy buddies. Lot's different. But the spirits are in there saying, one of these days, I'm going to take you out. In other words, I'm in here not to destroy your daughters. I'm in here to destroy you because you're kin to Abraham. In other words, the spirits are living in the house, but now we have spirits that are beating on the door. Spirits on the inside, stalking Lot, and spirits on the outside, stalking the angels. Think about it again. Spirits on the inside, focusing on Lot for years. Now the spirits on the outside are focusing on the angels. In other words, they were stalking both people. Both angels and Lot were being stalked by evil spirits. They're spirits that are stalking some of you tonight. They're watching and waiting, and they're ready to end your walk with God, just like the stalkers we read about. See, a stalker chooses a victim, and the stalker tries to fit in the surroundings. In other words, a stalker does not want to stand out. A stalker wants to just act like they're one of the crowd. In fact, you don't even know you're being stalked. Usually they just fit in, but they follow the victim every day. They know the victim's routine better than the victim. They know the little thing the victim likes and the victim dislikes. In fact, some stalkers are so bold that they will invade the homes and sit in the chairs. They'll eat the food out of the refrigerator, smell the perfume. And under the cover of darkness, they sometimes will even stand in a room for hours. They begin to take things that the victim doesn't miss, or the victim does miss, and then the victim thinks, I don't know where I put it. In other words, where's my toothbrush? What happened to my toothpaste? Where's that picture? Because the stalker is getting ready to attack. And so the victim doesn't understand it's a victim. They're just going about their daily activity. But the stalker knows, I'm in here because I'm going to take this victim out. I'm not going to do it aggressively. Finally, they get ready to attack. Sometimes they'll just leave a message and leave a note and leave a phone call, and because they're obsessed with the victim. See, the spirits were obsessed with Lot. They're beating on the door. The spirits are in the home. And Satan's eyes were on Lot. His claws had been reaching for Lot. It took 20 years for these pieces to fit together. 20 years for the puzzle to be put together. And now it's all together. As if the angels fall, Lot falls. There's some stalking spirits that have waited for years to get some of y'all in a position for a fall. I'm here to preach to you tonight. These spirits have followed you. They know your routine. They know your likes and your dislikes. They've been listening, and they've watched the halls of your homes, and they stood in the rooms of your houses. They've listened to you talk. And in the darkness, they stand watching, planning, and waiting, and ready to invade. They're obsessed with you. They look so innocent, but they're really deadly. These spirits on the outside are bold. They're beating on the door. They don't care if you see them. Adultery wants in. Homosexuality wants in. Lying wants in. Deceitfulness wants in, and a lot of times we're glued to the outside, to the doors, these spirits that won't in. And some say, no, you can't come in. But some want to compromise and make deals. And some eyes have grown dim like Lot's, and the very spirit that we've guarded against are now stalking us from the inside. We're always looking out there to say, no, no, no. But on the inside, they're sitting and they're stalking and they're clapping their hands and their spirits are being tormented and people are thinking and suddenly thoughts begin to dwell in their minds. People won't obey the word. People won't repent. The preacher gets mocked, and preachers are told you don't have a right, and the people laugh at the message, and they tempt others to do sin that they live in. Not openly, they're just like Lot's son-in-laws. They just never commit. I'm preaching tonight to y'all. They just never commit. They're bold in their defiance, but they never commit. In other words, they can tell, oh Lord, I'm going to go. They can tell you everything that's wrong, but they ain't never committed to anything. They're spirits that have been stalking them. Now the spirits of rebellion begin to be loosed in the building. And some spirits dare you to move. They've been beating on the door of your mind. They've been tormenting. They're waiting and challenging and watching and controlling your thoughts. And they're just stalking. Some of you are listening to stalking spirits. As I'm closing real fast, this church is not going to fold up. I'm here to tell you, Brian McCoy is the pastor of this church. And he ain't going nowhere. And Brother Poe ain't going nowhere. So if you're a bad spirit and you're going to try to take this church down, you got some trouble coming your way, because we ain't like Lot. We're not compromisers. We're Holy Ghost-filled preachers that are going to protect the sheep and warn the sheep about a stalking spirit. Look at your neighbor and say amen. You can be seated for a second. This ain't taking long. It's just going to be strong. We have to recognize and realize some spirits come in with our neighbors. And we have to quit looking at them like neighbors. Lot, what's wrong? Those are my son-in-laws. Well, your son-in-laws have an issue that, Lot, you didn't address. Am I right? And Lot, you're supposed to address issues. You're not supposed to, I'm going to preach just a little longer. You're not supposed to let your son-in-laws rule your house. And you're not supposed to take their issues and say, I can't address it because I'll run them off. No. If they leave, they leave. That means their spirit was wrong. Oh, God. Sometimes the preacher has just got to say, this is the way the church is going, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but we're not going to go another direction, and we're not going to lay down for any spirit. Come on, give your hand clap to the Lord. Sometimes we just got to tell it like it is. Amen. We love everybody, but we ain't gonna let nobody rob the house. I'm just gonna say it for a little bit. My mama was just a godly lady. She carried a 9mm in her purse. And I said, Mama, what in the world? I mean, she got certified and all that mess. I mean, I had them, but I didn't have no certificates. You know, I didn't want nobody to know. Mama went down there and got, you know, certified. And here's what she said. She put the, she had a bullseye that they shot down there at the sheriff's office or wherever they do that. Well, they call that license, not license to kill, but what is it? Concealed carry, yeah. And she put the bullseye on the front door. She lived in a little house there on 6th Street. And I drove up one day, and here's the bullseye on this house that I'd completely remodeled for her. And I'm thinking, what in the world is she doing? My mama was a little tough, a little hard-headed. And I walked in there, and I said, Mama, yes, baby. I said, we got a Target on the front door. Is that yours? She said, it sure is. I said, why do you have a Target on the front door? Here's what she said. This is a godly woman. She said, baby, I want anybody to know that if they come in my house, I'm going to kill them. And then I'm going to pray to God to forgive me for killing a man. And he said he would, because I ain't going to say nothing when I pull the trigger. I thought about it. Bible says anger but sin not. In other words, you can get mad, just don't kill nobody. Mama was going to kill somebody. She said, I said, well, Mama, you mean to tell me you'd shoot them? She said, right between the eyes. Now, she was already in her 60s. And I said, I guess that's, she said, honey, think about it. This is my stuff. Everything here was given to me by my kids, or I work for it. And if somebody thinks they're going to come in my house and steal my stuff, then the last thing they're going to hear is you better get prayed up because you're fixing to die. And I said, well, Mama, has anybody, she said, honey, people don't even stop by my house. She said, they just drive on by. In other words, what I'm saying is, sometimes you just got to say, if you're going to come in here and try to be a thief, that ain't going to work in here. If you're going to come in here and try to divide and conquer, that ain't going to work in here. Because we're not in the dividing and conquering. We're into saving and winning and growing and expanding and being holy and being godly. This is God's place. And that's exactly the way we're going to keep it. One time, I'm closing quickly. I was in a church, I won't say where, but it was a pretty big church. Walked to the pulpit, and I saw a crack go right down the concrete. I didn't really see the carpet, I saw the crack. And I stepped back, and I said, Pastor, there's a crack in your church. And he began to pray. And the Holy Ghost came on me and I said, sir, you have a diary. It's in the third drawer of your dresser. In fact, it's hidden at the back under your t-shirts, white t-shirts. And in that little diary, you're writing down everything that you don't like about this church. In fact, you have my name in there, and it says Brother Poe preached, and then the title. Brother Poe said, and then my words. And brother, if you don't burn that diary, God is going to expose you to this entire congregation. Well, immediately the Spirit of the Lord fell upon the place. Later we found out that this pastor's father-in-law somebody in the family, somebody you wouldn't expect. Are you hearing me? Somebody that he was totally overlooking because he was related, was writing a diary, and he took the diary and took it to the board. And when he exposed himself to the board, some of the board members had already heard about my message. And one of the presbyters looked up and said, "So it was you that Brother Poe was preaching about." In other words, he exposed his stuff to the board trying to destroy me, and it destroyed him. I'm here to tell somebody, you better shut your mouth or you're about to get destroyed. You better shut your mouth, because you ain't pulling nobody out of here. And if you don't like what I'm preaching, then you can call my number. You can get on my website, GordonPoe.com, and I'll come meet you. But we're not going to let some stalking spirits come in and take away the revival and the holiness and the godliness. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm closing. I see we have some little guests over here. You know, y'all be seated, ma'am, ladies. This is just Brother Poe. I'm preaching the way I preach. Sometimes it's just up in your grill, you know, and I'll say you got stuff in your teeth. You know what I mean? I hope I'm not offending you or nothing, but sometimes you just got to protect the babies. And I'm just going to do that. So you're hearing how Brother Poe protects the sheep. So if you ever want to be a sheep, remember, if somebody comes after you, we're coming after them. Amen. Jesus didn't let nobody get snatched away. Judas made his choice. Jesus didn't throw him away. Judas made a choice. Oh, so we're protect. He said, "Feed my sheep." In other words, protect what I gave you. And we are protecting what has been given in this church. We're protecting what God gave us. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Look at your neighbor and say amen. Look at him and say, "This is my church." We can't let spirits. See, the thing is, let me share with you something. I've prayed through. I've cast the devil out of people that were homosexuals, prayed them through. I ain't naming them, but I can tell you right now, there's several. One of them's got three kids and liked it. He said, "I didn't even know being married was this fun." Y'all read between the lines when you get home about that. But I told him, I said, "Well, why do you think I got married?" Amen. Cast the devil out of them. Protect them. One dude in Louisiana came up to me and said, "Brother Poe, I got AIDS. Will you pray for me?" I said, "I ain't afraid of no AIDS." I put my hand on his head. Pastor went, "He's got AIDS." I said, "That can't jump on me. Are you kidding me? I got the blood of Christ. He ain't going through that." Come on. Come on. This is what the church does. This is what we stand for. We just can't let everything come in the house and destroy what God is building. My God, we love everybody, but praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated, young people. All of you. I'm closing, but listen to me. This is a message we got to preach. Yeah, it's the spirit that we're fighting. We don't fight against flesh and blood. It's the spirit. One of the questions in the answering question things last week was, can you have an evil spirit and the Holy Ghost? Sure. I'm going to answer that. I answered it again. You can have an evil spirit. You just can't keep them both. But every one of us have had a bad spirit come on us. If you hadn't, you're lying or you're on dope. One or the other, you're all peeled up. Like, I ain't never had no bad spirit come on me. Well, I remember those days. Those were the days, my friend. You know, I remember those days. But sure. I mean, the evil spirit can just come up on you, Lauren, and just start. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you'll start thinking like that thing. And then you'll sit right there, and somebody will say, well, I'll tell you right now, Brother McCoy didn't even talk to me today. I didn't know you was that weak. Look at him. Look at me. Me and my wife ain't never been in a pastor's office. I can work it out myself. Me and my wife, we ain't going up for counseling. I ain't telling nobody my stuff. Me and my wife sat down, and she usually counsels me. Sometimes I get off that couch, and I just say, yes, ma'am. She'll say, leave the money on the counter. Okay. The spirit. Everybody say the spirit. I've had people with bad spirits come up to me and start saying stuff, and out of that spirit. See, that's why the Bible says discern the spirit. It didn't say discern the person. It said discern the spirit. And I've had to tell them, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me show you the example and we'll quit here. I'm going to show you something. Watch the two different spirits in the same sentence. I love you. I love you. One of them is like, same sentence. One of them is like, no, you don't. The other one is, oh. Right? I mean, you can say that. I've had in the old days, now my wife ain't never done it, but in the old days, I've had girls go, I love you too. And I'm like, I didn't tell you I loved you. I just said you was pretty in the dark. Oh, yeah, you got to turn the lights on, girl. But guys, you better. Don't go on the dome light. Don't do that. Get that sucker into Whataburger. Look her in the face. Amen. That dome light will throw you off. See that spirit? Everybody say the spirit. So sometimes you've got to check people that are coming against what you know is right. You know it's right, but you're looking at the person saying, what in the world are they so upset, or why do they... What are they asking? I don't know. What it is, that person is being controlled by a stalking spirit trying to snatch you out. And then you're going to be as uncomfortable as they are. Let me share with you something. We're going, am I on the internet? Facebook Live and all that mess? They probably don't want me on there anyway, thank God. Am I on the internet live? I am. Well, praise God. All right, send an offering. Help us out in revival. If you don't send the offering, we're going to turn you off. Then you'll just have to buy the CD, and they're about $85 a piece. Amen. Or whatever they make now. See, sometimes that thing that's trying to get you to leave isn't even comfortable. So now it's trying to upset you. Let me just close with this. You know, y'all remodeled and everything looks so pretty. I can't even remember, so pretty now. I can't even remember what it used to look like. But I do know this is so much better. And, excuse me, but you know what I mean? I just think it's better. If you don't, wait a minute. I just hit something right there. Uh-oh. Thank you, Lord. So if you don't like it, what does that mean? Well, I don't like the color of the carpet. I don't like what they did in the foyer. I don't like them modern pictures. Why don't they hang a picture of Jesus? Because that ain't even a real picture of Jesus. Jesus didn't have long hair. I mean, the first picture of Jesus that's ever been recorded, he was in the fourth, I think it's about the third, first, no, first century, third century, third century, about the third century. He had curly black hair, and it's all up over here, around there. He didn't have that long flowing hair. That's a queer they painted. That was painted by the Catholic Church. That was a face of a woman that they just turned into. Well, it looks like Jesus. Let's just smack in like he's got this little feminine sitting up there like this. Well, let's get past. You mean to tell me you're going to hell over the color of some carpet? What? Now, if it was lime green, we might have to have a meeting. Somebody's colorblind, the committee or whatever they are. And here's another thing I've always said. If you wasn't on the committee, you didn't volunteer. Come on, I'm preaching some stuff right here. I feel it, so I'm just preaching as easy as I can. I don't like the towel holder in the bathroom. Well, don't go to the bathroom. Go before you come to church. You're going to go start trouble? Oh, man, I'm feeling something. I'm just stepping all on something right now. You mean to tell me you're going to get somebody like one of these new converts? Have you ever noticed that our church is, do you like gray? And then the new convert may not like gray, but that new convert ain't coming for gray carpet. That new convert is coming because the Holy Ghost delivered them from drugs. Are you hearing me? Come on, let's get past these old spirits that stalk us and try to snatch us off of ain't gonna happen. Stalking spirits, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease your attack. In Jesus' name, we command you to shut your mouth against this church and against the holy things of God. We command you in Jesus' name to cease. We're going to close with this tonight. Now, we got church tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the church, what do they call it, Sunday school, 11 o'clock. We expect all y'all here. If you're dead, call me. We'll get you up in time for church. That's the way we're headed. I still need to, I'll get it tomorrow. Because I'm going to tell y'all something right now. This church is not going to be just, I'm coming to church and just hear the preacher and go home and say, I'm saved. We don't do that. We're gonna learn how to be warriors. All of y'all are going to be warriors and prayer warriors and faith warriors and God's kids. And we're going to learn how to cast out devils. We're going to learn how to heal the sick. We're going to learn how to deliver people. We're going to learn how to take control of spirits. Somebody holler yes. You can be seated just for a second. I got to quit. I'm trying to be nice, but this is about as nice as I can be when I'm doing this. The world comes in and feels chaos. They leave and don't come back. They ain't coming. Why they want to come back to a church if they got one thing? I mean, Sunday, I told some pastors, I said, dude, everybody was clicking, everybody's praising, everybody's. One guy asked me, he said, well, my God, what'd you preach? And I said, well, I ain't going to tell you because you're going to preach it. He said, my church needs that. I said, well, I can come in and preach it, but I ain't going to give you my message and you go up there and act like God told it to you. I said, I don't even hardly preach off notes. I said, I preached off of notes that day for a little while. And he went, you got the notes? I said, I do, but it don't say what I preached. It's just, that's like Lionel's blanket. I just put it up there, run by there every once in a while, say, okay, I'm safe. We can't let the church, we can't let y'all be so messed up by these spirits that when somebody like me that was a drug dealer comes in needing help, needing deliverance, that I would walk into a church that's totally chaotic, totally different spirits, not in one mind and one accord. Now, where's the piano guy? Piano man, come on up here. Is that thing on? Is one of these things on? Now, I want to show y'all something, and I'm closing. Did I say that before? All right. One of them's on? Which one? Now hit me one of them nice chords. Hey, Lord. Do it again. Y'all are waiting on me to sing, aren't you? It's like, he finna write a song up there. Yeah, I can't sing gospel. It's going to turn out to sound like Led Zeppelin, and so I can't. So that's a nice chord, right? Hit it loud. Can you hit it loud? Is that as loud as that thing will go? We need to get another one. Turn that thing up to where it kind of rumbles like an Elvis Presley down there at Brand, or Brand, what's it called? Branson. Yeah. Okay, I saw exactly what you did. Now, you hold the microphone.
Is that the sustain key? Yes, right there. I want y'all to praise. Oh, over here.
I want y'all to praise God while I sing. This place. So Lord, Lord. One's in unity. It's harmonization with each key. A bunch of keys that are different. Watch this. Some of them are white and some of them are colored.
Oh, Lord.
Huh? Give me that harmonization keys. If I come into the church, now, don't give me no funeral stuff. That funeral stuff hurts me. I was a drug dealer. I was a rocker. Give me one of them rumbling F's. Hey, 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 Lord, have mercy now. Oh, Lord. Yeah, like that right there. Wind's blowing again. I said the wind is blowing again. Do you hear me now?